Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, were members of the first church in Jerusalem. This was a momentous time to be a follower of Jesus. This was a momentous place to be a Christian. And here's why. It had only been weeks. Now think of that. Weeks since Jesus was nailed to a cross and died. It had only been weeks since Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his followers. It had only been weeks since Jesus ascended into heaven. It had only been weeks since the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, came upon the church in power. During this time, Jesus's disciples, his followers, the apostles, Peter, James, John, Andrew, and the rest, they were preaching the gospel. They were preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, how God, the creator of all things, out of love for the world, humbled himself and entered the world, how he took on flesh, how he became a man, how he breathed and he laughed and he wept and he slept, and how he died and how he rose again. They preached and they performed signs and wonders in his name. And the church was growing. Every day, the Spirit was drawing more and more people to faith in Jesus. Every day, the Spirit was drawing more and more people to believe in Jesus, to have new life in Jesus. And all of this was happening in a very unfavorable political and religious atmosphere. All of this was happening in the midst of persecution. All of this was happening while the powers that be in Jerusalem tried to suppress the church. But if something is of God, there is no stopping it. Well, not only was the church in Jerusalem growing, but they were also caring for one another. They were taking care of one another. They were loving one another. They were making sure that no one in their community had a need. And the end of chapter 4 of the book of Acts tells us one of the ways that they were doing this, one of the ways that they were taking care of each other. Now listen to Acts chapter 4. This is verse 34 and 35. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as had any need. People sold what they had to give to one another. They sold what they had to take care of one another. Now, did they have to do this? Was this a condition of being part of the church? Well, no. This was a free act of love. And we'll talk more about this in a minute. Well, one man from Cyprus, a Christian named Joseph, he sold what he had and he laid it at the apostles' feet. It was a gift to be used for the needs of the community. And it was such a generous gift, they were so encouraged by his gift that they began calling Joseph Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. And it was the same Barnabas who brought Paul before the apostles in Jerusalem to show them how Jesus had changed Paul, how Jesus had changed Paul from a persecutor to a preacher. Well, now back to Ananias and Sapphira. Like Barnabas, they sold a piece of property. Like Barnabas, they laid the proceeds at the feet of the apostles. Like Barnabas, the purpose was to help those who were in need in the church. However, there was a difference, an important difference. Unlike Barnabas, Ananias, with his wife's knowledge, kept some of the money. So what's wrong with this? What's the big deal about this? It was, after all, their property. It was, after all, their money. What if they did not lay it all at the apostles' feet? Did this deserve immediate divine judgment? Did this deserve immediate death? Well, yes, it was their property. Ananias and Sapphira had the right to do with their property as they wished. God did not require them to sell it. The apostles did not require them to sell it. It was not a condition for following Jesus. It was not a condition for joining the church. And when they did sell their property, it was their money. Ananias and Sapphira were not required to give all their money to the church. Even Peter says as much in his rebuke of Ananias. But the problem came, the sin occurred when Ananias and Sapphira laid the money at the feet of the apostles with the appearance that they had given everything. With the appearance that they had donated all the proceeds from the sale of their property. Now, we live in a world that loves appearance. We live in a culture that uplifts appearance. We are bombarded by social media that's all about appearance. But God is concerned about the heart. God is concerned about your heart, not just the appearance. Well, Ananias and Sapphira created the appearance that they had given all. So in the eyes of all the church, in the eyes of all the apostles, in the eyes of all who were in need, the actions of Ananias and Sapphira were the same as Barnabas. Now, perhaps they expected to be praised for their sacrifice. Perhaps they expected to be admired for their godliness, applauded for their generosity, thanked for their selflessness, noted for their righteousness. Perhaps they even had their eyes on a church office. Now, whatever the reason, whatever the motivation, Ananias and Sapphira wanted credit for something that they did not do. This was a falsehood. A deception. They were deceiving the apostles. They were deceiving the church. They broke the ninth commandment. They lied. This was a lie. And Peter knew it. Peter knew it immediately. As soon as Ananias laid the gift at his feet, Peter offers this rebuke. Listen to verse 3 again from our passage from Acts 5. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of this land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Peter confronts Ananias with his sin. His sin was a lie from his heart, a lie from his heart infected by the poison of Satan. Now, Satan, the evil one, Satan, the enemy, God's enemy, a liar from the beginning of time. He lied to Eve in the Garden of Eden. In fact, in the Gospel of John, Jesus calls him a liar and the father of all lies. And this liar still prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to thwart, seeking to undermine, seeking to destroy anything of God's, especially the church. I mean, then and now, if God's Spirit is at work in the church, the community of faith, if God's Spirit is at work through preaching, through teaching, if people are growing, if missions are faithfully supported, if outreach is happening, Satan will attack. Resist. Resist his attack through prayer. Resist. Resist his attack through the Word. Well, Ananias allowed a lie from Satan to infect his heart, to fester in his heart, a lie that Ananias acted upon, a lie that was not only against the apostles, a lie that was not only against the church, but a lie that was against the Spirit, a lie that was against God. And then verse 5, when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. Dead. Well, about 3 hours later, we're told Sapphira came to Peter. Somehow she did not yet know about her husband, and Peter asked her a question. Did they sell their land for the amount that Ananias laid at the apostles' feet? So here, Sapphira has a chance to tell the truth. Sapphira has an opportunity to confess their sin, to own the lie. But she does not. She continues the deception. She lies just as her husband lied, and her fate is the same as her husband. She falls down dead at the feet of Peter. Now, is this too harsh a punishment for a lie? Was it right? Was it right for God to strike down Ananias and Sapphira? Was it fair? Was God fair to Ananias and Sapphira? Well, the difficult answer is yes. Yes, it was right. The hard answer is yes. Yes, God was fair to Ananias and Sapphira. And the answer is difficult and hard, not because it's true, but because it's difficult and hard for us to hear. Who likes to hear about judgment? Who likes to hear about punishment? And perhaps you want to know, how is such an act consistent with the loving God? How is such an act consistent with the God who forgives? But we must let God speak for himself through the scriptures. We must let God reveal himself through his word. We must let the Bible show us God, even if our convictions are challenged by it, even if we have to wrestle with it, even if we don't completely understand it. Now, our knowledge, our beliefs, our views of God, which is our theology, that's theology, must come from his word, all of it. It must come from his word, not our feelings, not our notions, not our sense of what should be, but the scripture. Well, back to Ananias and Sapphira. Was God fair? Was God right to strike them dead? And here's what the scriptures would tell us. Yes, God was fair. God was right. Why? Because lying is a sin. When you lie, you disobey God. When you lie, you fail to live as he desires. When you lie, you break his law. You fail to love. And the punishment for sin is death. The wages for sin is death. This was true all the way in the beginning of time. In the garden, in Eden, God told Adam, God told the man, you can eat of any tree, you can eat of any bush in the garden, just don't eat from that one tree. And if you do, you'll die. In the beginning, there was no sin. In the beginning, there was no death. The punishment for disobedience was death. The punishment for sin was death. And what did Adam do? Adam disobeyed. Adam sinned. And death entered creation. And death has scarred creation. That's the truth of the scriptures. And it's our truth. The lies that we have told, the lies that have come from our sinful hearts, the lies that have made us look good, the lies that have made us look righteous, the lies that have made us look generous and faithful, the little lies, the white lies, the exaggerations and the gossip, the false witness, deserve death. If God were fair, if God did what was right and just, we deserve the same as Ananias and Sapphira. And everybody in the church in Jerusalem knew this. Listen to verse 8 again. This shows how they knew it. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Great fear came upon them. Fear of the Lord, fear of judgment, fear of the truth that our sin deserves punishment, immediate death, that God would be right in doing so. But God is patient, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And that abundant, steadfast love is shown in his Son and through his Son, Jesus. As God's Son, Jesus did not sin. He was without sin. Yet he willingly took upon himself your sin. He willingly took upon himself your disobedience. He willingly took upon himself your failure to live as God desires, your lies, all of it. Jesus took upon himself. He owned your sin. And he suffered the punishment that you deserve, the judgment that you deserve, death. He became your substitute. So you don't have to be Ananias. You don't have to be Sapphira. Through Jesus, God no longer holds the sentence of death over us for our sin because Jesus took it. Through faith in him, you're forgiven. Now, it's not as if God simply let you off the hook for your sin. It's not as if he just simply dropped the charges against you. No, because justice would not allow it, and that would be cheap grace. But grace is costly. It cost God the life of his Son. That's God's love for you. And that's why the gospel is good news. And that's why we should have joy in our hearts this day. God hates sin. God is love. We deserve death. We're given life. Both are true, and both help us to cling to Jesus all the more. The story of Ananias and Sapphira is a difficult story. It's a hard story because it could be us. It could be you. Me, we've all broke the ninth commandment. And so this story serves to shock. This story serves to awaken us to grace and repentance. For in it, we see what we deserve. And in it, we realize anew the grace that the Father has given us through the Son, Jesus Christ. All glory and praise be to him.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.